Morning, everyone. All right, PowerPoint's working. I get nervous when I use a PowerPoint. So do you. Yeah. That was good. I went over to Vernell's house on Monday evening when she heard that Randy got an early retirement at work, but she wasn't going to be able to enjoy it with him for a little while. And a number of the other family members and friends were there at the house. And I left for a little while to check on the kids, and then I came back into the house. And I came into a conversation about whether or not Randy was a cusser. And a guy there I didn't know was surprised. And he said, "Randy didn't cuss? Really?" And he'd turn and ask people, "Did you ever hear Randy cuss?" I'd say, "No." And somebody said, and at the job site, the other crew members knew that Randy didn't like cussing, and they had such respect for Randy, that when Randy was around, they would clean up their language too. Recently, at a softball practice, I was throwing a softball up in the air, and it was a bad throw. It was dumb on my part. It landed right on Randy's foot. A lot of people would have cussed. Maybe cussed me. But you know what Randy said? He said, "Ouch, that hurt." That was it from Randy. Many of us have talked about what an encourager Randy was. Whenever you were around him, he made you feel very important and significant. He would find good qualities that you had or something that you did well, and he would make sure that you knew that he'd noticed and that he appreciated it. Over the 8+ years that I knew Randy, I don't think I ever remember him saying one negative thing about another person. I don't ever remember Randy gossip about somebody. But I do remember very often he would brag about people. If somebody filled in for me preaching, and I remember sometimes he'd come up and say to me, "I think so-and-so really did a good job at preaching." Or he'd say, "Those Perrin kids are awesome." Or, "Chris really does a good job at leading singing." Or, "Tab and Marcy are really generous people, aren't they?" And things like that I would hear often from Randy. There were probably times when he misused his tongue, as we all do. But compared to most people, Randy had a pretty tight rein on his tongue. And in the scriptures, I see that the way that a man uses his tongue is kind of like a barometer on his level of spiritual maturity. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well." In other words, if you never ever sinned with your tongue, then you would not be sinning at all, because the tongue is the most difficult member of our bodies to control. If you manage to have your tongue in complete harmony with the will of God all the time, then you'd have the rest of yourself in total harmony with God's will as well. It reminds me of the preacher that one time stood up before a congregation, and he began his sermon saying, "I want to show you that part of my body that causes me the greatest temptation." And there was a great hush over the congregation, and people looked scared. Oh no, what is he going to do? And then he just, you know, stuck his tongue out at them. And James 3:2 says it's that way with all of us. As I'm sure we probably know by experience, the difficulty of only saying the right things in the right way all the time. And I don't know about you, but often I don't realize that I'm not saying the right thing until the words are already out of my mouth and I see the response on the face of the person that's hearing the words. I see the look on the face of my wife when I've said something that hurts her, or I see the look on the face of a friend that I've offended, and I think, "That was stupid. I really wish I could take those words back." But once words are out, you can't take them back. I've also, on occasion, after I've told a story, afterward it will dawn on me that I kind of embellished that story. I exaggerated some of those details. The fish wasn't actually that big, you know. The tongue is the most difficult member to make behave all the time. But it is absolutely vital that we get a good handle on our tongues. We'll probably never get to a point where we never stumble in what we say. James 3:2 here says we all stumble in many ways. But we do need to get a good handle on it, because James 1 and verse 26 says, if any man thinks himself to be religious and yet does not have a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Wow. So God takes the way that we use our tongue very seriously. In our daily Bible reading, we're in the book of Proverbs. And a major topic of the book of Proverbs is our speech and the way that we use our tongues. And there's something like 90 verses in Proverbs about the way that we talk. But don't fret. We're not looking at all 90 verses. Just breathe. It's going to be okay. Well, what I'd like to do is just guide us in an organized way in exploring some of what Proverbs has to say to us about our speech. And first of all, Proverbs wants us to know the power of our speech. Now, there's a legend I heard that illustrates it. A king sent out a servant to go and bring back to him the most valuable thing in his realm. And the servant went out, and the servant came back with a silver platter, and on the platter was a human tongue. And he said, "Sire, this is the most valuable thing in your realm." And the king sent the servant out again, this time to bring back the worst, most destructive thing in his realm. And the servant went out, and the servant came back with a silver platter, and on the platter was a human tongue. And he said, "Sire, this is the worst thing in your realm." And Proverbs teaches us that the tongue has tremendous power to bless ourselves and others, and also tremendous power to damage ourselves and others. So listen to some of these problems. Proverbs. Notice the power of our tongues on ourselves. Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. What comes out of people's mouths can wreak havoc on their marriages, their friendships, cause them problems at work, just make their lives a mess. I have some neighbors who used to be the best of friends. They loved living right next door to each other. They were always at each other's homes. But now, because of the way they've used their tongues with each other, now they won't talk to each other. It's awkward whenever they're both outside the house at the same time, and now it is miserable for them to live next to each other because of the way that they've used their tongues. Guard your mouth, guard your soul from troubles. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. In other words, the man who speaks rashly, the man that doesn't think first before he speaks, that man brings himself to ruin. Notice the power of our tongue on others. There's one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So, the one who speaks rashly, this is the man that he doesn't put his mind in gear before he puts his tongue in motion. He doesn't think about the way that others are going to hear his words, the way that they're going to take them. He doesn't realize the power of the tongue to damage other people. And so he just speaks whatever comes to mind. And the proverb says that man, his words are like the thrusting of a sword, cutting and stabbing the people around him. That adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. We know that's not true. Because some of us have scars on our hearts from things that have been said to us or about us. I have scars on my heart from things that I have said to other people that I wish I could take back. But the proverb also, though, fortunately, says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so the tongue also has the power to heal the wounds that have been caused by other people. With the tongue, we can reverse people's feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness and the damage that's been caused by other people. 13:14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. We live in a world that is mined with the snares of death with lethal traps. And the book of Proverbs talks about a number of those snares of death, things that people can get caught in and they will lose the abundant life that God wants them to have. One of those snares is easy money that Proverbs warns us about. You might have to be dishonest or hurt somebody, but you can have easy money. Another one is easy sex. You may have to go beyond the boundaries that God has set, but easy sensual pleasure. And there's other snares of death that Proverbs talks about. If people get caught in these, they will lose the life they could have. But with our words, they can have the power to save people from losing their lives in sinful things. Our words can be like a fountain of life. But if people will drink our words, take them in, and believe them and live by them, they can have abundant life with God that will carry them over into eternity. Pleasant words, Psalm 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And that's kind of interesting because normally medicine, you know, what's healing to the bones is not sweet. And normally what's sweet, what tastes good, is bad for you. But gracious words, pleasant words, encouraging words, are not only pleasant and sweet for people to hear, but it's also good for them. It encourages them, it motivates them, helps them to be better people. Verse 27, 28. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. And that's the image James chapter 3 uses to describe the power of the tongue. It says in James 3, look at how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And we know about that in Montana. Just a cigarette butt or a firework and it can burn up thousands of acres of forest. And then James 3 says the tongue is a fire. And the point is that we ought to be as careful with our tongues as we would be carrying a torch in a dry forest. It has more destructive power than we realize to destroy people's joy and peace and marriages and friendships and churches. The tongue has incredible destructive power. And he says, a perverse man spreads strife and a slanderer separates intimate friends. And then we can sum it up with this one, 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, first of all, for ourselves, because Jesus said, Matthew 12, truly I say to you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then also it could be death and life for other people. By our words we can lead people on to eternal life, or by our words we could lead people on to eternal death. Well, Proverbs also wants us to know the characteristics of wise speech. You've probably heard that you're supposed to first taste your words before you spit them out. And Proverbs tells us about how our words are supposed to taste before we spit them out. And I've put these characteristics into an acronym so that I can remember it, and maybe you can remember it. With the word tasteful. And so every letter stands for a characteristic of wise speech. T stands for true. And of course, that should filter all the things that we say. You're going to have to use your Bible for these because I didn't put the verses up on the screen. Chapter 12, verse 22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. But those who deal faithfully are his delight. See, God doesn't view lying the same way that we do. In our culture, lying is something that everybody does to avoid embarrassment or trouble or make themselves appear better. And it's viewed as a very minor thing. But the proverb says that lying is an abomination to God. He detests it. And one of the forms of lying that the book of Proverbs talks about quite often is flattery. 29:5 says, a man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps. Flattery is what you is saying something to somebody's face that you would never say behind their back. You know, it's telling people things they want to hear, but you don't really believe those nice things that you're saying to them because it's to your advantage that they like you. And so you say to your boss, "That was the best presentation that I think I've ever heard." But then on the phone with your wife, "You know, I think I might get a raise. He really liked it when I said that to him. And how was the presentation?" "Oh, it was awful, but I think I might get a raise because I said that to him." But lying is something Proverbs says. This is the kind of thing that guard your mouth from, and you guard your soul from troubles. A stands for attractive. One message, you can say it in a way that is attractive, or you could say it in a way that is ugly. And the way that you say something makes a world of difference. So Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And it could be the same basic message you're trying to get across, but if you use a harsh tone and are disrespectful about it, it's just going to make people mad and turn them off. But if you present it to them in a gentle way, respectful way, showing that you care about them, then it'll be much better received. The next verse says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable." In other words, the wise person adorns what he's saying with gentleness and tactfulness and respect, and he makes that knowledge acceptable. He makes it attractive to people so that people receive it. But then it says, "But the mouth of fools spouts folly." Or I think the New Living Translation says, "He belches folly." He belches folly. And it's very unattractive the way that the fool speaks. But wise speech is you try to make things attractive to people. 16:21, "The wise in heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." Did you get that? Sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Say the same thing, but the way you say it makes a big difference. S stands for shielding. And what I have in mind by that is shielding people's reputation. Or you could put that S, slander, not. But I was trying to be more positive. 11:13. "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression..." Nope, I'm on the wrong one. Chapter 11, verse 13. "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." 16:28. "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." And that's another thing in the Proverbs that it says is an abomination to God, one who spreads strife among brothers. Relationships, people loving one another is very important to God. And so he detests it when people separate friends by gossip. So the golden rule to avoid gossip and slander is let the honor of your neighbor be as dear to you as your own. And if you wouldn't want someone spreading a rumor like this about you, then don't spread it about them. The next T stands for thoughtful. 15 and verse 28. "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." And so the righteous man thinks about how to answer. How is this going to be received? What are the effects that are going to come about from it? He's thoughtful about the way he speaks. Chapter 13, verse 3, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." And so, sometimes we might describe a man as being one that just speaks his mind. And sometimes we might speak of that as being a good thing. But Proverbs says that's foolishness. Somebody that just speaks his mind is going to bring himself to ruin. We are to guard our lips, and we're to be thoughtful and think about how people are going to take what we say. And so, not a good thing to just be one who speaks your mind. And 1714, I wasn't quite sure where to put that, but I put it under thoughtful here. My acronym's not perfect. But I think it fits under thoughtful. 1714, it's a proverb that's been helpful to me. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. In other words, if you're talking to a person and you can tell that the person is getting mad and they're starting to be insulting, it's like the water in a dam is starting to leak out. And if you just keep talking about it, the dam's probably going to break and all kind of damage is going to happen, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And so if you can see that a quarrel is starting, then just stop talking about it, or probably things are going to get much worse. And so be thoughtful as you're, if that's happening in your conversation, realize that it's best not to just go on with this conversation if things are getting heated. E stands for edifying. To edify means to build up. And all of our words are to be only those that are helpful, constructive. And that's kind of a summary of what a lot of the Proverbs say about our speech. And that's a summary Paul uses in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. He says, "Let no unwholesome speech proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace." It'll be like a gift to those who hear. Did your mom ever say to you, if you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything at all? Well, mom was exactly right. And that's Paul's summary. That's what the Proverbs say. Just speak those things that are helpful and constructive for the moment. F is for few. Listen to Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. It's so easy to sin with your tongue. And so don't just speak everything that's on your mind. Narrow it down to those words that are just true and helpful for the moment and attractive. And many words, there's going to be transgression. Few's better. 12:23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. So a prudent man conceals knowledge. He doesn't speak everything that he knows and everything that's on his mind. He just speaks those things that are true and that are helpful at the time. And then 17:27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So especially when you're angry, few words is better. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. Or I like the way that Abraham Lincoln would say it. He would say, it is better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. If your mouth's closed, you're silent, then, you know, people only might think you're an idiot, but if you open your mouth, then everybody knows. That's kind of what the proverb's saying. U is for understanding. 18:13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." In other words, listen and make sure you understand whatever the subject is before you talk about it. I'll just say he's a relative, so I don't slander somebody. But I have this relative who will talk with authority and argue about things he's never studied, he has no experience with, and I think he wants to impress people to thinking that he knows a lot and he's very wise, but he just makes a total fool of himself. He who answers before he hears brings folly and shame. So listen and have understanding of the matter before you speak. And 18:2 says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." And so, you know, God gave us two ears, one mouth, so we listen twice as much as we speak. Listen, have understanding when you speak. And then L is for lowly. I have in mind humble. 27 verse 2, Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. It might be okay when you're applying for a job to talk about all your accomplishments and your credentials, but not when you're applying for friends or for people's respect. Be lowly in your speech. Let another praise you, not your own mouth. And then Proverbs also wants us to know sources of wise speech. And fundamentally, it's your heart. Your mouth speaks out of your heart. Wise speech will come from a wise heart. Chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Jesus said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And he says, how do you tell if it's a good tree? Well, you look at the fruit. And if the fruit is good, you know it's a good tree. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And so if in your heart there's wisdom and you're a good tree, good speech is going to come about. Socrates, I guess, would say to a man when he met him, "Speak that I may see you." Because words reveal the way we are inside. And the way we are inside determines the words we speak. So we work on the way that we think and the way we are inside. A heart of wisdom comes in part by receiving wise instruction. Chapter 5, verse 1. "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge." And so apply yourself to learning the instruction of wisdom through the Scripture, and it helps us to have the thinking of wisdom inside. Also, Proverbs talks about associating with wise companions. Choose your friends carefully, Proverbs says. You will be influenced by the people that you hang out with. Chapter 13 and verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." And I lost my place. "But the companion of fools will suffer harm." And then, source of wisdom, of course, God's grace by prayer and faith. God can help us, and He's willing to help us. And we trust Him, and we ask for His help. 16:3 is, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." And I like these prayers in the Psalms, Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my lips. Keep watch over the door of my mouth." And Psalm 19, verse 14. "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So let's remember the power of our words, the incredible power to bless people's lives and our own, or to damage people and to damage our own lives. And let's remember the characteristics of wise speech. Can you remember them? T is true. A is attractive with gentleness and respect. S is shielding people's reputation. And then T is thoughtful. And E is edifying, only what's helpful. F is for few. U is for understanding. Make sure you listen and understand first. And L is for lowly, humble speech. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in His sight. If we can help you to obey God in your life, please let us while we stand and while we sing.